Hello, and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Just what do we do about the dreamers, the hundreds of thousands of young people brought to this country illegally as children by their guardians or parents? The answer to this question still eludes Congress, despite two brief government shutdowns that happened in large part over legislators' inability to agree on a solution. The DACA program, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, has protected young undocumented immigrants brought here as children, protected them from deportation. President Trump terminated this Obama-era program last September, and he set March 5th as a deadline for Congress to do something for the Dreamers. With us now are two people who are waiting to hear what that something is. Julio Mejia Andino, originally from Honduras. He's 27 years old, and his DACA status was just approved again last July. Julio, welcome.
Nice to be here.
And Maria Ibarra Freire is also 27. She was born in Mexico. She got her DACA status in 2012. She's chair of the Washtenaw Immigrant Justice Coalition, and she is a graduate from the University of Michigan Masters of Social Work program. Welcome, Maria.
Thanks for having me.
So it was so not long ago when most Americans did not know what DACA meant. And now DACA dreamers are in the headlines every single day. Maria, what has it been like for you to have your issue so front and center in the national dialogue and political debate?
It's a mix of feelings. It's heartening to see how many people care about this, how much momentum there is. It's also confusing to figure out how it became so big so fast, where I wish this momentum had been as big in 2010 when we were so close to a DREAM Act. And it's also very emotionally exhausting to have things change every other day from potentially something could happen, no, just kidding, it seems like it's all going to derail. So it's a lot of back and forth and a lot of information to keep up with.
And how about from where you sit, Julio?
Every day I check the news just to, because every day is something new with the government. They're talking about it. They're not passing it. It might pass. We're shutting down. It's just a teeter-totter back and forth, and it's very exhausting. Sometimes I talk to my managers, what's my next move going to be at work? Am I still going to be here? You know, on top of that, you got life issues that you got to deal with, bills and stuff. So it's very stressful, but we get by.
We get by. When you stop and you realize that President Trump announced the end of DACA last September 5th, so that's more than 5 months ago, when you heard that news, did you think Congress would have some kind of fix in place by that March 5th deadline?
No. Sadly, like many other undocumented people, are used to false promises and exciting headlines and the possibility of something that you know sounds too good to be true. So it makes me sad to say this, but I didn't think that Congress would come up with a solution. And I don't think they're going to have a solution by March 5th.
Here we have, as the Senate starts this kind of open-ended debate, there is a group of Republican senators who are going to advance their version of the president's immigration proposal. So that would offer a pathway to citizenship for 1.8 million eligible immigrants. But to get that, the White House wants upwards of $25 billion for border security and the wall and deep cuts in family migration, an end to the diversity visa lottery. And the White House wants changes to laws that would make it easier to detain and deport immigrants. As you heard all of this, what did you think of that negotiation?
It's a waste of money. You know, we focus so much on the immigration conversation, but I'm sure that there are millions of families and people in the U.S. who would really benefit from that money that's supposedly going to border security. And I shared this last time, and I still would not accept DACA or the DREAM Act if it came attached to more immigration enforcement in our communities.
Why?
It's not fair to our families, to our parents, to people who have sacrificed everything to get us where we are. And it's also, to accept it would be buying into this rhetoric that somehow undocumented and DACA youth deserve relief or the right to work more than people who don't have DACA. I think it's very divisive. It's a way that has been used in the past to control communities, particularly communities of color. And in the long run, it will just be a Band-Aid solution. But we're going to see this problem reoccurring again. All the people that got here, you know, after DACA, or anyone who was too old by just a couple of days who doesn't qualify, it's very unfair to say that they don't deserve the right to live here, the right to work, the right to be safe, simply because they didn't have DACA.
There certainly is the kind of conversation and sometimes rhetoric that we hear. Things are heated. And to that point, White House Chief of Staff John Kelly certainly got the nation's attention when he recently talked about the president's latest immigration proposal. Let's take a listen and we'll talk about it after.
There are 690,000 official DACA registrants. And the president sent over what amounts to be 2.5 times that number, to 1.8 million. The difference between 690 and 1.8 million were the people that some would say were too afraid to sign up, others would say were too lazy to get off their asses, but they didn't sign up.
Maria, what do you want to say to us about General Kelly's comment?
I actually wrote a response to this with my colleague William Lopez called Five Reasons Why John Kelly's Comments Are Wrong on DACA. And to say that they were too lazy just falls into this trope that we hear that immigrants are lazy, and I've never understood how we can steal jobs and be lazy at the same time. And this idea of being afraid, and the first response was that, yes, John Kelly, like, people are afraid, and they have a right to be afraid, as we've seen this administration. First, you have DACA, and then you don't, and then maybe you do, but not really. And when a billion-dollar industry is targeting you for removal and is targeting your family, how can you not be afraid? And the expectation that you don't deserve status and you don't deserve DACA or the DREAM Act or any kind of relief simply because you're afraid is so incredibly cruel.
The comment about being lazy.
For somebody to call me lazy and for a politician to speak like that, this is a person who represents the people. To talk like that, to me, is unacceptable when it comes to being in politics.
Have either of you seen any difference, for better or for worse, in the way that people react now when they realize that you're a dreamer versus before all of this attention began?
Yeah, definitely. Before, people would just think I'm, we love Julio. He's good. He's an awesome kid. But they didn't know that I was undocumented at the time. And now that they know that, you know, I could be sent any moment back to Honduras. And then when they hear that, it's like, wow, your life could change that fast. We didn't know that. We thought you were all set. I still work with people who go, don't think DACA is the greatest thing. I still have to face those things.
You know, it's interesting. I'm watching your expression. You're smiling, but not really.
You have to. You have to. You can't let people see it. See what you're actually going through, what you're feeling. Because then, who knows? You know, people are actually showing the true selves with DACA. They're either against it or with it.
I'm wondering how this uncertainty, Maria, is affecting your life and how you're trying to plan for whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really difficult to have stability. My plan had been to buy a house this year, to start looking to buy a house and put some roots down in Ypsilanti. And I can't do that anymore if I don't have the certainty of an income. It's difficult to just even, make travel plans after my DACA expires. There's just so much that is up in the air, things that people take for granted, their ability to plan their lives. Even that has been taken away from us.
So as you watch all of this unfolding in Congress, and you watch the changes from the White House, where on one day, on a Tuesday, the president said, "We want a bill that's full of love. We yeah. love the dreamers." And then on Thursday, when you have a Republican senator and a Democratic senator showing up thinking they were going to have a deal, and it's tossed out. How do you go through each day?
I stopped paying attention to what's going on. It's a self-protective mechanism. I actually, my go-to response when people ask me how I feel about all of this is I feel nothing. I'm numb. I've blocked all this out. And I occupy myself doing a lot of activism and a lot of immigration work, but none of that directly impacts me.
And if March 5th comes and goes and nothing happens, do you feel that your lives will change, or are you just going to keep on keeping on? What do you think will happen? I know I'm asking you to look ahead into the future a few weeks, but...
I think about it every day. I actually do. What am I going to do? I definitely don't want to go back to riding my bike in the winter because I can't drive, because I'm scared if I get pulled over. I definitely don't want to go back to those days. You know, I definitely want to continue school. I love what I'm doing. I don't want to go back to the way it was.
Maria Ibarra-Frere and Julio Mejia Andino, we want to thank you so much for being here, sharing what you're going through right now, you and so many other dreamers throughout the country. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.